Peaks. Peaks.
Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts, Carrie G and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas!
Hey, it's Ralph Garman. You are listening to Metal Geeks, and I must say, you've made an excellent choice.
Welcome back to part two of episode 19 of the Metal Geeks podcast, where we are discussing a lot more from the D23 Expo right now. We are about to get into some developer interviews from a bunch of different games that were there and lots of really cool stuff. So there will also be an episode 19 bonus episode, a third part to all this great content that features myself and my wife that was recorded live from our hotel room in Anaheim, California. So we discuss fresh off the day about the D23 Expo and how our week has been going, and it was very cool to have my wife on the show and let her geek out a little bit because she does get her geek on. So stay tuned for that, and thanks for getting into episode 19, part 2 of the Metal Geeks podcast.
The convention was very strange. It was busy. I got to say, there was like 40-something thousand people there, man. It was an immense amount of people.
Wow.
There was a lot of stuff that I was interested in. They had a collector's corner where it was just a bunch of people selling different Disney stuff. They had a Disney interactive section where they had different video games they were displaying. Like they had DuckTales there, the Castle of Illusion remake, they had the new Kingdom Hearts remaster there. They had a huge section on Disney Infinity. And they had Fantasia Music Evolved, which is, of course, the new game from Harmonix, who started doing Guitar Hero and then moved on to Rock Band. So
interesting.
And I was ballsy enough, or they were nice enough, let's put it that way, to actually grant me some interviews. So I think we should take this time out of us talking to let me talk to some of these developers and people that worked on these video games and just have a little section of, like, some video game talk. I mean, some of these interviews are really, really good, man. I was excited to actually talk to these guys.
So I wasn't actually there, but you're taking me there.
We are going to take you there right now. So let's go in order here. So first, I don't remember this guy's last name. His name was Frank. He was a representative from Sega. He was actually one of the producers on the game.
Sega!
Exactly. These Castle of Illusion remake that's coming out in September on all the like home consoles, like PlayStation, PSN, Xbox 360, all that stuff. Then we're going to get into an interview with Daniel Sussman. He is one of the lead producers of Fantasia Music Evolved from Harmonix. We'll let him talk about that. Then we have Jason Moffitt from Disney Infinity. He was nice enough to take some time out and explain to me exactly what it is going to be. We have Andy DeGenova next. Actually, no, we don't. We have him later. And then we have Chris Ancista. I'm not sure how to spell this guy's name correctly. He worked on the DuckTales game from Capcom, which actually started coming out this week on home console. So let's let these guys talk about their game, and then we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Carrie from Metal Geeks, and I am standing here with Frank from Sega, who one of the senior producers on a brand new game coming out. It's a remake of the Mickey Mouse Sega or the Genesis game, Castle of Illusion. How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So, how's your experience at the show been so far?
Oh, fantastic! I mean,
I forget how many brands actually Disney has. So, you know, you got Star Wars, you got Avengers, you got our stuff here, video games. I mean, if you're a Disney fan, this is the place to be. So, it's pretty cool.
Tell me why did you bring this game to the show today?
Well, we're releasing the game in September. It's actually one of the most requested games to be remade from back in the Sega Genesis days. So instead of doing an exact kind of like HD remake, we decided to take a different, more modern approach for the game. So we modernized it into more modern gameplay, but we kept the core of it, which is a very difficult hardcore gamer game.
I was about to say, I just played it for like a minute and I died already. I'm like, yep, that's what I remember. Difficult.
Yeah, it's a difficult game. So when you see Mickey, you think it's a kid's game, but it's not really a kid's game. It's really targeted for those who remember the previous Genesis games. They're a lot older now, so hopefully their game skills have leveled up, and
yeah.
And we made something challenging and fun for them.
Now this is going to be a digital release only.
Yeah, it's a digital release. PSN, XBLA, and PC.
Okay. So going back to the old game, when you first got the code and whatever, all the assets, how did you sort through all that and know, okay, this is what we're going to take out of it, this is what we got to do new?
So things like boss battles, we decided to definitely remake into more modernized, you know, 3D, full 3D combat, full... The kind of stuff that you expect from boss battles nowadays. It's like very epic, full 3D, very challenging, multiple ways of, you know, to deal with the boss. Some of the other stuff, the actual level traversing, we kept that as a 2D platformer. So it's really a pick and choose. Like how far do you want to push it to make it modern, but how core do you want to keep it so that the previous fans will appreciate what we've done. So it's paying homage to the past, but making it definitely more for the future.
How much of the artwork did you have to redraw?
Oh, it's all brand new.
All brand new.
Yeah, it's fully rendered in 3D. So the previous game was all 2D sprites, but this is a full 3D rendered game.
Did you run into any problems with traversal in the levels when you were basically the same level design, but changing it up a little bit? Did you find problems with this doesn't work here and that didn't work?
Well, the level design is loosely based on the original game, but it's basically brand new. So I mean, when we redesigned Mickey to be more modern, I mean, he still has this basic kind of fundamental stuff that he did in the Genesis. He jumps, he throws things, he lands on things. So those things are kind of pretty key and core, and then we kept up that. But the levels that we built around it are a little more modernized again.
Yeah, I love the old school butt bounce mechanic. Yeah.
The butt bounce mechanic's there. You pull down, you stomp on somebody, you go higher. So, I mean, that's a very key mechanic in the previous game, but in our game, you know, you use that to find like secret areas. Yeah, so there are certain like gems or special collectibles that you have to actually do that mechanic to find.
And you mentioned the difficulty on the game. Who is this game designed for? I mean, no kids are going to want it because it's Mickey, but
yeah, I mean, it is really designed for the gamer and the gamer who played the previous game as well. So that's our demographic. Kids can play it, but I highly recommend kids playing it with their parents or, you know, someone who is a little bit more
patient
and has a, you know, good eye-hand coordination. Because if you're three, I think you'll enjoy watching it more so than playing it.
And you said this comes out in September?
Yeah, September... Elvin, what is it? September what, 4th?
Yep.
September 4th and 5th.
Very close.
And yeah.
Cool. Well, congratulations and thank you for the interview.
Oh, thank you.
All
All right, my geeks, we are back. This is Carrie, and I'm here again at the D23 Expo in Anaheim, California. And I'm speaking with Daniel. What's your last name, sir?
Daniel Sussman.
Daniel Sussman from Harmonix. And we want to talk about your new game, which is just released or just announced like about a month ago. It's Fantasia Music Evolved.
That's right. So we announced it a couple of weeks actually before E3. And we're here at D23 to show people kind of within the Disney community what our game's all about.
So people that don't know, Harmonix got their start doing like Frequency and those games. Love those games. Went into Rock Band, Guitar Hero, then Rock Band, and kicked their butt, I think. Do you think, before we get into Fantasia, do you think the music-based rhythm games like that with peripherals, do you think that it was just a, you know, it slowly died down?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what I'm seeing is, you know, a pretty constant connection to music that, you know, whether you're sort of holding a guitar or standing in front of the camera or whatever it is, you know, people are really into music. And that's not a fad. That's not a thing that will go away. And I think what we're trying to do with Fantasia Music Evolved is really continue sort of a legacy of sort of music entertainment, really, and trying to find a new experience that will engage people in a way that's similar to what I think Guitar Hero and Rock Band did, you know, where people would play with music together, you know, and I think that was really cool. And that's, you know, I think that there's a huge market of people that are waiting for the next thing, you know, waiting for the next thing with music that they can sort of relate to. And, you know, I think Fantasia Music Evolved is a bold sort of attempt to sort of, you know, to connect with people at a very visceral level.
Tell us about a little bit about the gameplay and how it differs from the typical, you know, Rock Band.
So the thing that I'm most excited about in our design actually has to do with the level of sort of interactivity that a player has with the music itself. So where, you know, Rock Band was really a simulation, you were sort of, you know, pressing boats to pretend that you are a guitar player. There was very little creativity in that experience, you know, and sure, people would sort of, you know, dress up and, you know, strike the rock star pose. Yeah. But that was sort of where the creative element ended. And we've tried to develop around creativity in a lot of games, and it's one of the features that ends up getting cut, you know, because it's really hard. And what we have with Fantasia Music Evolved is a very creative experience. So the player is basically remixing songs through gameplay, and kind of whether they're performing, you know, a piece of licensed music, or in the discovery realms, they're actually, you know, reaching out and, you know, impacting worlds and transforming worlds through their actions. And, you know, the game is all about sort of how these worlds respond to you. And you know, it's pretty exciting, actually.
And you mentioned the licensing. What kind of music will we expect in the game? Besides, you know, it's going to be a lot of Disney stuff, but...
Well, you know, I think people think of the film as a film about classical music, but, you know, when you actually read some of the history behind the film, Walt was really trying to connect people to classic music of the time. And, you know, we have this perspective around, you know, it's like, what if Fantasia had sort of continued to evolve over time? Where would it be today? And so we have a lot of, you know, we're trying to actually build an experience around contemporary music and sort of relevant music. So we have a lot of stuff that is from today. We have classical music. You know, our approach was really like, let's build a musical experience that is sort of all-encompassing. And then the remix mechanic is really, you know, is on top of all of that. So you can take Night on Bald Mountain and you can remix it. And you can take Some Nights by Fun and you can remix it, you know. And it sort of changes the conversation about, you know, what a player is relating to when they're playing a music game.
Are you able to mix any songs together?
No. So our approach is basically around, you know, you have the original and then you have alternate versions that, you know, we're working with top line remix artists, and also we're doing a lot of that work ourselves. But so each song basically has a bunch of alternate stems that you can mix and match between, but you're staying within the confines of that song.
How much more difficult has this game been to develop than, to say, your typical Rock Band game where you just, you know, matching everything?
Well, I think a lot of the challenges were conceptual. You know, you think about the film, and it's this, you know, pretty old film. by definition, it's a very passive experience. You sit back, you watch the movie unfold, and you sort of are, you know, thrown into these kind of whimsical worlds of color, sound, and motion. And motion, you know, they're beautifully animated, and you know, and yet the challenge of sort of how do you actually pull that into something that is meaningful for the player, where the player is not passively sort of absorbing the content, but you know, standing up and interacting with
right.
it. That was it took us a long time to come up with sort of the scheme that we have now, where you know, you're sort of interacting with sort of very sort of Fantasia-esque worlds, but then you're also diving into specific pieces of music and transforming them through gameplay.
Now the development of like the Kinect and the motion controls, is that what led you to where you are now with this game?
Yeah, well, I think you know, this is really, you know, it's when you think about the evolution of harmonics, you know, and sort of you mentioned frequency and amplitude,
yeah.
and sort of, you know, some of these like really fun music games, and then you sort of map that through to the Guitar Hero, the Rock Band, and then the Dance Central. This sort of feels like a natural evolution for kind of harmonics, just as a studio, you know, and we're taking advantage of a lot of our expertise, both in music design and just sort of, you know, how to communicate a musical experience to a player, but then also through the gestural interface and sort of some of the work that we have done just on the Kinect platform. You know, I think this is an ability for us to showcase some of our kind of studio talents.
And what platforms will this be released on?
So we're working on Kinect for Xbox 360 and then Xbox One.
Awesome. Looking forward to that.
All right. It should be fun. You know, and for holiday, well, not for holiday. We're looking for a 2014 release, and we're still working out the specifics of that launch window.
All right. We'll let you know when it does get closer. Thank you for your time, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey everyone, we are back at D23 Expo, and I am here with Daniel Moffitt.
Jason
Moffitt, I'm so sorry, from Disney Infinity, one of the exciting new games coming out. Everybody's really looking forward to this. Tell me the basic premise behind the game.
The basic premise is, Disney Infinity, it's one world that sort of can open up for all the Disney characters. So with a starter pack, what we do is we have three different play sets and three different characters that come with that. Now, each individual playset is its own world. So we have a Pirates world, an Incredibles world, and a Monsters University world. The characters from those worlds are the only ones that can play in those individual playsets. We also have a fourth mode, which is the Toy Box mode, which is a world builder. All the characters and all the toys that you accumulate from playing through all the playsets, they open up in the Toy Box mode. So it can be really awesome, really fun. There are physics tools in there, so you can open up. It's very similar. We get a great comparison to Little Big Planet and a Minecraft kind of put together,
oh, cool.
but with the Disney flair to it, with all the characters.
Yeah, just from the pictures and video, it's a wide mixture of different, you know, movies and, you know, IPs from Disney.
Yeah, for sure. For launch, we have like all the Incredible characters, and we have all the Pirates characters, and then we also have a few other play sets that you can buy separately, like the Cars play set, which is based on the Cars Cars 2, I believe. We also have a Lone Rangers play set that's already been announced. That one's really awesome. It's like an open world Western. So we had a little kid that was testing it the other day, and he was like, it's like Red Dead Redemption, but my mom would let me play it.
There you go.
So it is. It's a really awesome open world Western. It's really cool.
Now tell me how the figures and everything interact with the board and how they work into the game.
Yeah, so basically, you buy the characters. In order to get the character to show up on game, we have the USB base that plugs into the Xbox, the Wii U, the PS3. You just put the character on the base, and then he shows up in the game. I'll show you real quick, too. So we have Jack Sparrow on there now. Sorry about this. Pop him right off. Barbossa just appears right into the game for you. It doesn't affect your gameplay at all. You can switch him out on the go. It doesn't make any difference to the actual progression in the game.
That's really cool, and it changes your goals around too.
It doesn't affect the overall progression of the game, but there are other things that all the different characters can unlock. There's submissions in the game that only Barbossa can do. There's other submissions that only Davy Jones can do. All those things sort of accumulate to unlock toys that will go back into the toy box. So as far as like the overall progression in this playset, you don't have, you can do it with all just with Jack Sparrow, but there's extra things that are unlocked in the game by having, by adding the other characters to it.
And who is this game designed for? What kind of age group are we looking at?
We're looking at mainly around like 8 to 12, I think. But we've been finding through these trade shows that like adults and all age ranges, honestly, because we want to let everyone have something to do in this game. So like, you know, obviously the children, the younger kids love the Cars playset. They like those characters. And so a lot of this is driven by the IP, obviously. So it's kind of who you like and what you want to do with it. The Toy Box Builder is so incredible. There's a learning curve to that one. So you can build something as immense and grandeur as you want, or you can just kind of drop different buildings, because we'll have like different properties in the Toy Box, like Scrooge's Money Bank and the Cinderella Castle. There's over 1,500 different toys that can be unlocked into the Toy Box.
And that by playing through the game?
By playing through the game, and then also collect loot and beat enemies, you get these spins in the toy box, so okay. it's kind of like a random, and it'll give you a random toy every so often.
And you mentioned Cinderella Castle, so there is a Disneyland and Disney World item?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's awesome. Disneyland, Disney World, and it's off. See though, so there's properties that you see here that are the in-game IGP characters. In the toy box, we have like you see like Cinderella's carriage over here. They're what we have also are these little power discs. So you see the disc underneath the character, that gives the character sort of in-game buffs. So right now she's got two on there. One's extra, kind of gives extra power to when you're fighting enemies, and one gives you extra loot when you're getting things.
And those come with the packages?
In the starter pack, you get one with the starter pack. They're sold blind packages. Okay. You get two per package, and it's random. You see the playset piece in the back. So each property has its own playset piece. You don't need that in the toy box. In the toy box, we have other power discs that unlock different things. So we have some that will change the terrain. Like there's one from Sugar Rush for Wreck-It Ralph. It'll theme the whole world in the sky, and it looks like you're in Sugar Rush from Wreck-It Ralph. There's an Alice in Wonderland theme. It looked for the cartoon. It looks like the Alice in Wonderland. Wow. When you put the thing down, it plays music from the movie.
So this is definitely fan service for Disney fans.
Oh yeah, for sure. And also, I work on the online version of the game. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the ability to share UGC with Toy Box. So you build your Toy Box. You've submitted to Disney. We think it's really awesome. Every week we're going to feature 5 Toy Boxes from around the world. We're going to allow you to download those for free. All you need to do is sign up with a Disney ID. It pulls into whether you have an Xbox, PlayStation, Wii U, doesn't matter where it was made. We pull it up into the cloud. You can pull it down into your machine and play with that in that Toy Box that somebody else built.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Which systems will this be coming out for?
Right now, it's coming out for the Wii, the Wii U, the Xbox, the PS3, and when we will have an online version. It's coming out in October, but it's just going to be the world builder, so you'll have a world editor that you can make on that.
Because they have protection on them.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, no plan for any next gen like the Xbox One yet.
We don't have. I can't say right now that, but we definitely are looking into that for sure. I would imagine that's definitely a step that we want to take.
So when people buy the game, they buy the disc. Does that come with any of the figures that you need to start with?
Oh yeah, yeah. So the starter pack actually comes with 3 figures. It comes with Captain Jack Sparrow, Sully, and Mr. Incredible. Comes with the USB base. It comes with the 3 games that go with those characters. So those pirates, the monsters, and the Incredibles.
Okay.
And obviously, you can always use the toy box mode whenever you want.
I hate to say it like this, but Skylanders better be wary, because you guys are gonna take over on that aspect.
Yeah, I know we get a lot of comparison to Skylanders, and personally, the only thing that I really see that is the same as Skylanders bass is the way that the figures interact with the bass. Otherwise, it's a completely different game, and we tried to make a completely different game. We didn't really try to make the same sort of game like they're doing.
So this game is perfect for the Disney compulsive that loves to collect Disney stuff and then gets to play with that too in a game.
Yeah, I feel like there's two different sides to this. I see like people that will just probably collect the figures and maybe not even get the game, and then there are people that'll be collecting them to play the game and to progress in the game as well. So.
Well, cool. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, man.
All right, everyone, we are back, and we are here at D23 Expo, and I'm here with the guys from Capcom with a game that I'm really excited for. It's the remastered version of DuckTales. I'm here with Chris Antista. Tell me what your position on the game was.
Well, I'm the senior online specialist something at CapcomUnity.com, so I've been doing a bunch of coverage on the blog for the game and a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff, and, I mean, the coolest thing I got to do was write a bit of dialogue for Launchpad McCoy. Quack. If you've seen those videos online that go level by level.
Yes, I did, yeah.
Yeah, those are... I'm such a huge fan of the show and the game that I can't believe I had the opportunity to contribute anything, let alone that it's happening.
Right, I know. Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Oh. How did this happen?
You done? There's someone else in line behind you. Yeah. If we can just get other people playing, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Great. Yeah, go ahead.
So bring that back to the question. How did this come about? How did DuckTales get redone?
Well, I think it all the time Capcom is asked, when are you going to make a new DuckTales? But the reality is it's Disney's IP, and it's at some point Disney got really interested and was really cool about everything. Like, and here we are. Like, they brought in Wave Forward with us, and like we all came together. The voice actors from the original television show, and those are official Disney voice actors. So no other actors voiced those characters.
Right. The voice actor for Scrooge is in his 90s now.
Exactly. Alan Young has been doing Scrooge, and I don't want to put too many asterisks in it, but since roughly 1983 when he did it in Mickey's Christmas Carol, but he had done it a little earlier than that, so nobody emailed me any angry messages.
Right.
But 83, man, that 30 years. He's been acting for longer than my father's been alive, and he's still around to do Scrooge for us. Now, that's super exciting.
Right. So, let me talk to you about the difficulty.
Yeah.
DuckTales is always notorious for being one of the old difficult games. What is the difficulty now?
I'm old, so I never thought of it as a difficult, particularly difficult game. I was playing a ton of Mega Mans and shooters, so like it wasn't particularly difficult. I recognize it does look difficult now. And one of the things about the game is that it didn't really tell you that much. Certain levels have invisible walls. Things pop out of nowhere. And what the new game has been able to do with the voice actors is add some cutscenes and some story and some context to what's actually happening. So rather than me poking my head or bumping my head into every invisible wall, you're told where the invisible walls are on certain difficulties. If you're playing on easy, you'll have to see a map of the entire world before you with little notes on the map of what you need to accomplish before getting to the boss. So it makes it a lot less difficult because it's not trial and error.
And you guys worked with Wayfor, who's one of my favorite developers.
Absolutely.
Right now. I love old school games and new versions of them.
It was so exciting to see that they were going to be the ones doing it, because I can't really speak for them, but as a fan of theirs, they look like they live and breathe the era that DuckTales came out in and became popular in. Everything they've done is evidence that they're the perfect people to make something like this.
Now, when you decided to redo the game, did you have, level design and everything, what did you bring from the original version of the game into this one?
Well, all the level designs and all like the animations and everything that was in the original is pretty much here, is represented. It just a couple things here and there, some bridging sequences and some like a little bit of setup, like what are we here looking for? And the battle at the end of the game, which I won't spoil, is climactic and now has like a legitimate setup. It was like the two most evil people in that universe. And it was totally acceptable in the 8-bit era for them just to combine at the end of the game, even though you've never seen them before. But now you see them ahead of time. There is something, it builds to something. And the last level, in the original, you went back to Transylvania, which was weird. And now it's an all new level, old Mount Vesuvius, with an all new story element. Very cool. Very cool.
And what about the graphics? Did you reuse any of the old sprites and just recolor them?
No, I mean, these are actually, everything here is made from scratch by Way Forward, as you can see, like, lusciously animated, like all professional animators. A lot of, like, former employees of Disney or, like, Disney enthusiasts. Like, this had just the right amount of, like, authenticity go into it, man. I'm super excited.
Yeah, looking at it right now. I have not. Cool, thank you. I'm looking at it right now. Definitely, like, the colors, they really pop, and there's, like, the black outline makes it look really like an animated cartoon again.
Yeah, so, like, that was the big thing for us as kids. It's like, we all wanted to play a living, breathing cartoon, and nothing looked like how it looked on our televisions and movie screens, and to make the voice actors, the hand-drawn animation, it made it look like those are all things we would have done with DuckTales had we the technology, and getting the opportunity to do it now, even though it's 2013, is amazing. And seeing it bring a smile to everybody's face, man, your heart can't help but swell.
I know. The music is very, everybody knows the same song.
Yeah.
What kind of music, is it the same music, the same song in the game?
It's, Jake Kaufman, he's done a lot of collaborations way forward. Like, I just recently loved his soundtrack on Double Dragon Neon.
I agree.
Very good at capturing the spirit of, like, the era and, like, the product. And just, like, he did a great job. Like, now, like, you'll recognize the themes immediately, but Transylvania's a little scary with a tiny spoonful of dubstep. Or Amazon's, like, got a little, an island flavor to it. But it still has that peppy, kinetic beat and melody that, like, was, essentially built to drive you through a level of DuckTales.
I always loved the moon song.
No, I've never cared for the moon theme. I'm just kidding, of course. Everybody loves the moon theme. And I love the moon theme. And there's a bunch of cool stuff with the moon theme that I cannot wait for people to hear. And
what system is this game going to be available? I know it's available now for a few.
No, it's, well, is this going up later than the 13th?
It will.
Okay. Yeah. Then yes, it is up. It is available for PS3 and Wii U and PC via Steam and some other platforms. And the Xbox 360 version is coming out September 11th.
Why was there a difference between the different releases?
Just things beyond our control. You know, just we make games. Scheduling wasn't up to us, but stuff happens. But as a bonus, the Xbox 360 users there will be free avatar items that you can unlock in the game. Okay. Shirts featuring Scrooge for your XBLA avatar. Really cool.
That's fun. So with the whole Disney catalog, DuckTales has been redone. And the Castle of Illusion.
Yeah.
What other games in their catalog would you guys want to tackle?
I can't say, but look at my T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
It's not a hint or anything. Like, okay. Like, we have no plans to announce any of the other Disney properties. But I would love to, and I would like to say, like, if it was up to me, it would definitely be Rescue Rangers. Because, man, that, for me, was the first and ultimate co-op experience.
Yes.
And
that was my favorite, right behind DuckTales.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Once again, same situation. The music is fantastic. The property is fantastic. The show was great. That game really came together to be something special. And that would be my first choice. If you're just asking me as a fan, like, yes. Not saying nothing's not confirmed.
He's not confirming anything here. So, everybody, take a look out for DuckTales. It's going to be available on the PSN store, like you said, PC, yes. Xbox Live on September 11th till August 13th. It'll be available in your online store. Go buy it and have a good old retro time.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Great question.
Well, we are back to Metal Geeks Podcast. This is episode 19, and a lot of D23 geekery is going on here, man.
Yes, and incredible interviews, man.
They're a lot of fun. I'm going to I've never really done developer interviews like that, because I've never been to a convention where they were readily available like that. And I'm looking forward to doing more of that kind of stuff, especially like if we manage to get to like E3 and that kind of stuff, man.
Yeah.
I'm totally looking forward to that.
We're not going to get to that shit.
Let me ask you this, man. How much of a Disney fan are you?
I am probably on the lower end of being a Disney fan, only because I'd never visited Disney until I was 25.
Wow.
Okay. 25, 26. So, and I'm 34 now. So, I mean, I haven't really been too exposed into it. Well, I loved the Disney Channel when I would go to my grandmother's house.
Okay.
But where I grew up, we didn't have that shit.
I got to say, I'm sort of like you, because I didn't go to Disney World until I was maybe, I don't know, 5 months old? Or less than a year, somewhere around there. There's a picture of me with my aunt holding me up at Disney World watching a parade.
You were born into the Disney life.
I guess Lady Gaga says I was born this way.
Yeah, you were. And
I'm definitely a Disney geek. Well, let me put it this way. There's certain aspect of the company that I really am geeky about. Like the cartoon movies, their movies, the theme parks is what I'm the biggest geek about.
Yeah.
That's why Disneyland is such a mecca for me in Disney World. I'm such a huge nerd. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I love the park. We did a Very Merry Disney here.
Dude, I haven't done that yet. I would like to go during Christmas time.
It was pretty cool, man. The cast was singing Christmas songs, and they had snow, fake snow, obviously.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it doesn't snow in Florida, right?
No. We get some ice every once in a while, actually, as weird as that sounds.
We do it here, too, yeah. We get sleet, but no snow. We've had snow here, like, twice in maybe the past 10 years, and it was, like, for, like, 10 minutes. That's it. It disappeared by the time it really got to the ground, you know what I mean?
Right.
But what segue into what I'm really geeky about Disney is Imagineering in the theme parks. There was an amazing, amazing exhibit at the at D23 Expo called Journey into Imagineering. This year is the 60th anniversary of Imagineering. And they had this amazing, like 10,000 square foot exhibit in there. You had to wait into a line to get into it. Everything at D23 Expo was a line. There was a line to get food. There was a line to get bathroom. There was a line to get into stores to buy the merchandise. There was a line to get into other lines. Seriously.
I can't do lines, man, especially not anymore now that I've given up Coke. No. No, I can't do lines down here.
You mean Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sure.
I always sniff up Coca-Cola through my nose. It fucking hurts like a bitch, but it's so nice.
The great thing about it was Disney was so fucking organized the whole weekend. They had, you know, just the way they were able to move people around in such large numbers. And we'll get to a little bit more of that when we get to Saturday, man. We saw a really cool presentation that I'm excited to talk to you about. But getting back to the Imagineering thing real quick, it's not like they just hired people to work the booth there, the area. There's actual Imagineers that worked on these projects. And I was actually lucky enough to interview one of these guys who will actually going to play that interview in just a few minutes. His name is Andy DeGenova. And he took a few minutes out of his time to speak to us about what it's like to be an Imagineer and what it takes to be one, how to become one, and that kind of stuff. Greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am here still at the D23 Expo in Anaheim, California, having a great time. I am in the Disney Parks and Resort Pavilion here, talking with one of the actual Imagineers. His name is Andy DeGenova. Hope I said it correctly.
Yes, very close.
We're standing right near the animatronic section where there's a lot of really good things on display. Tell me, first of all, why did you Imagineering open up to the public like this?
Well, we get so many fans and Disney files who want to come to Imagineering in Glendale. We can't bring them all up there, so the decision was to bring Glendale here and give you a little taste of everything that we do on a day-to-day basis.
Hey, what is your position as an Imagineer? What do you do day-to-day?
I work in creative development, so it is helping produce different projects through all the parks worldwide.
And what's the last project you worked on?
A lot of the projects I'm working on are things that I sadly cannot talk about.
Gotcha.
So just know that there are a lot of exciting things always happening, and I'm trying to make sure that they come out the best they can for our guests.
Now, let's talk about some of the animatronics. I see the Hatbox Ghost that is a test model. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, the Hatbox Ghost is a character that we know our fans love. And so if we're going to showcase animatronics, we're going to showcase something special, the idea was let's create a specific figure of the Hatbox Ghost that you can only see here at D23.
Is there any plans for him in the future, or is it just still a test model?
We have no plans to bring him back to the Haunted Mansion, but it's great that at least our fans can see him and take photos of him here at the Expo.
Tell me a little bit about the controls and the proprietary software that you guys have created to run these things now.
Well, I don't want to get too technical, especially because that's not my area of expertise. Again, I work on the creative side of things, but the Hatbox Ghost is kind of a... he's a figure that uses a lot of different things to power him, whether it's hydraulics and electronics. So he's kind of a great example of the way the art of animatronics have grown throughout the years to show what we can do now.
And so what is the most exciting exhibit to you here that you guys are showing off today?
I think the entire Parks and Resorts Pavilion is amazing. Of course, I'm a little biased because it's what I do every day, but I think it's such a great way for people to come and see what we do at Imagineering, get a glimpse behind the curtain, and see so many of the different disciplines that make up Imagineering that not everybody even knows exists.
And I'm sure you hear this question all the time. How does somebody become an Imagineer?
You are persistent, you are passionate, and you meet as many people as possible, and you just keep hammering away at it, and eventually, hopefully, something will give.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
But they had so much cool stuff there. They had, like, something that they're going to be introducing to the parks real soon is something called Magic Band Plus. And it's sort of like a bracelet that you wear, but it's going to include everything that you need to go to be in the park. So you don't really need to bring your wallet anymore. I have a picture of the machine, but it's sort of like it glows when you get near something. Basically, it's going to have your tickets on there. Your park tickets will be loaded on there. If you do any fast passes or all that kind of stuff, it's all going to be loaded on there. You can actually set those up before you even leave your home on the internet.
Wow.
Now. Yeah. It's going to have, you'll be able to use it as currency that comes off out of your account. And it's also going to be your hotel room key. So it's all going to be on this one thing.
Wow.
It's going to suck if you lose it, but, I mean, they had a lot of technology showing that off, and they spent a lot of time talking to you about it. They were very cool about, you know, explaining what was going on. Like, there was sections of there that had audio animatronics. They had a brand-new... Hatbox Ghost that they've never used in Haunted Mansion, and they won't admit it that it might be coming to one of the parks into the ride, but I have a feeling it will be. That why would you spend so much money on something and not put it in? And they had one of the Barker birds from the Pirates of the Caribbean, and you're actually able to control it. There's video of me actually using the animatronic controls the old school stuff when they used to physically have controls to program them. Now it's all done through a computer, which is, they had that there too. So much cool shit, man.
It sounds like to me, it sounds like the D3 Expo with that aspect of it sounds just like the World's Fair.
There was a lot of influence from the World's Fair. They had the original map story drawn by Peter Ellenshaw of Disneyland from 19 before even opened. They had the actual original one hanging up.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Did you get a photo of it?
I did, yeah. I did get a photo of it.
I'd like to see that.
Let's see, what else is there? They had
They had different sections like audio and the special effects, and they had building and planning and permits and all that kind of stuff. It was weird. I was talking to an Imagineer about civil engineering plans for about 10 minutes, which was very interesting to me because I used to do that stuff for a while.
Right.
They had sneak previews, like hints, for some of the stuff coming up that Imagineering is working on. One is called Project Orange Harvest. And I will post pictures up of this on the website. It's basically, there's no hints to what kind of attractions or what's going to be coming there, but it's basically the new Star Wars land coming to Hollywood Studios.
In Florida or out in...
In Florida. There's rumors that it's coming to Florida. They had these, what basically were crates. And one of the crates was cracked open or was broken open and R2-D2 came out of it, you know.
Oh, I saw that picture online. That's awesome.
And they had different stuff. Like, they had a crate of lightsabers. There's only one purple one in there, of course, because only Mace Windu can have a purple one. But there's a lot of little hints to what could be coming, but nothing set in stone. And they had the same thing for Avatar Land that's coming to Animal Kingdom. They had a little section in the area, and there's pictures of it I can show you later on the website. And, you know, they weren't giving away too much information, but there were this little hint everywhere. The coolest thing
to do, man.
The coolest thing that I saw was the real Agent M from Marvel tweeted this out or Instagrammed this out, and I saw this in time to actually do it. They have a booth inside that pavilion called Infoneering. It was basically their information booth. And if you go up to that booth and talk to one of the employees there and say, hey, I want to, I'm sorry, cast members, because Disney calls them all cast members, I would like something strange, or I'd like to see something weird, they would give you this poster. I'm going to try to hold it up to the camera. I showed it to you earlier, and there's pictures of it. It says, "Do you dare enter?" And it's done by Disney and Marvel. And I didn't know what it really was, but if you download the Marvel AR app and scan it over this picture, you get a special video. And what we're going to do now is play the audio from that video. It's loading right now. Oh, it went away. Hold on. Come on, work for me now. This makes for great dead air, doesn't it?
Well, no, the app actually is one of those quirky ones where sometimes it works, sometimes it's... Because basically what you do is you...
Here, it's loading now, okay. There you go. Were you able to? Did you hear that good?
Yeah, I heard it.
I'm sorry. Did you hear that well?
Yes, sir.
Practice my English. So from what I know about this project, it's going to be a comic book. It's based on something called Museum of the Weird, which was the original plans and ideas for what eventually became the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. It was going to be a walkthrough attraction with a bunch of different weird stuff, and some of it made it into the actual attraction. So it's cool that Imagineering and Marvel are actually putting this together. I'm excited for it.
You know what's really interesting is about how I love Disney's subtleties. You know, it's like a riddle. You know, it's always like there's always something to try to solve, and it grabs your imagination, which is another part of the whole theme of Disney, is to grasp your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they harness your own personal imagination with these little subtleties, and I love it.
Right, yeah, they totally did that. I mean, I could have spent the whole weekend in that one pavilion, but there was so much to do. Man, it was so amazing in there. I got to tell you. And then I actually waited in line right after that. There was a special Imagineering store next door to this pavilion, and I bought a Imagineering shirt, which unfortunately turned out to be too big on me since I've lost weight. Which is weird because I noticed it's only in Disney. Disney uses Hanes to make their shirts, right?
Oh, God.
And the extra large is usually what I wear, but I wound up having to buy a large, I bought a Disneyland shirt, which was cool because there's a picture, I'll put a picture of this. It's Darth Vader riding the Astro Orbiter eating a Mickey Mouse ice cream bar and has a Disneyland logo on the bottom.
Yeah,
actually, I actually had to buy a large so it would fit me. The extra large shirt that I bought, it's not that it's big, but what the deal is, underneath the arms, the material is so, it's so much material there. It's like old lady arms. They're still flapping, you know what I mean? it's horrible, man.
You got to cut them sleeves off of that there shirt.
I've been thinking about it doing actually doing that so I can actually wear it and be comfortable, you know? But I saw a couple panels. I saw one panel that day. It was called Undiscovered Disneyland. It was hosted by Imagineer Tony Baxter, who I'm a big fan of. It was basically footage from like the 50s that had been shown in so many years. It was a lot of fun. I had to leave the convention earlier there, that day. Didn't really get to do anything because actually Inside the Magic and Window to the Magic had a dual meetup that night. But we had other plans that night. We had tickets to go see Hollywood Babylon being done live in Hollywood. So we had
badass.
We had to drive all the way the fuck out there again, but definitely worth it, man. Which is weird. It was the first time we've been to the Improv in Hollywood. So if you don't know Hollywood Babylon, funny ass podcast done through Smodcast, Kevin Smith's podcast network, who we desperately want to be involved with. I'll just keep on saying it until it happens. Kevin Smith is one of the hosts, and Ralph Garman, amazing, guy. He does a lot of voices and that kind of stuff, but he's a part of the morning crew on, I think it's K-Rock there. He's been in a couple movies. He was in Sharktopus. You ever see that movie?
Yes.
He's the guy that goes, "Damn you, Sharktopus!" He gets eaten by him. He was in Red State with Kevin Smith. He was the mute guy. I can't think of his name in the movie now. But he's been in a lot of stuff. I'm a big fan of him. And he was nice enough to come out after the show and sign some autographs for me, take a picture with me. And you might have actually heard his voice in the beginning of this episode because he was generous enough to take some time and actually do a radio ID for our podcast.
That's badass, man.
I was hoping Kevin Smith would come out, but he didn't. But
he's probably jerking off in the back somewhere.
Probably smoking some more weed, man.
Yeah.
If you're interested in hearing this episode, it's the one that came out this past Monday on the 12th. That's the actual one that we were at. So, and you might even hear my wife go woo a couple times when they mentioned Doctor Who.
Interesting.
Because only her and one other person went woo, and you can definitely hear her.
Did he acknowledge it?
Yeah, I think he did.
That's funny.
And when you listen to it and you hear the guy talking about wanting to have anal with his wife, he was right next to Kim.
Really?
Yeah, you'll know what I mean when you hear the episode.
Well, what's so weird about it is that, you know, how they're doing, like, Kevin Smith has the show with Jason Mewes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Basically, like,
Jane saw Bob get old.
Yeah, yeah. And they're talking about it, and somehow or another, it always ends up becoming like an anal thing with Kevin Smith.
He's infatuated with it. When you listen to Hollywood Babylon, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
So he's totally into swimming. His turtle swims in mud.
I don't think he does, but people make up funny names for it, like the Rusty Wagon Wheel and... Yeah, a bunch of stuff.
Rusty Wagon Wheel.
Yeah, once you listen to this show once, you will become a fan and go back and listen to all the episodes. Trust me, you will. If you're a fan of Kevin Smith and you love comedy, it's one of the best ones he has, truthfully.
I love his, I really do love his humor on Edumacation.
Okay. You would definitely like this show then. So, I guess let's get into the big thing on Saturday. The big show on Saturday morning was Disney's live-action presentation. We got there really super early because the presentation wasn't until like 10:30, and we got there about 7:30, which wasn't earlier than a lot of people, but we made it in. That's all that mattered. We actually had good seats. So I've talked to you a little bit about this. It was basically Disney stroking their egos about what's coming up in the next year or a couple of years for Marvel and the Disney franchises. They did a little sizzle reel in the beginning where they ended it with Star Wars. Everybody was expecting to at least make an announcement about Star Wars or something, just anything, but there was no news at all this whole D23 Expo. And that was very disappointing. There's video of this. There's like 4,000 people in that arena, and everybody just went, oh, everybody just was upset that there was no fucking news at all.
That sucks.
And they sort of announced that there wasn't going to be anything majorly happening, announcing, but, you know, you still expect it, you know what I mean?
Right. Something to acknowledge it.
But then they broke right into Marvel, so it sort of made up for it.
Right.
So Kevin Feige came out, introduced the first movie they were going to talk about, which was Thor: Dark World. They showed a long freaking trailer that had never been shown before, a lot of footage that I've never seen, nobody's ever seen. And then they brought out some of the stars from the movie. First, they brought out Tom Hiddleston, Loki himself, which my wife was like really excited for.
He's, you know, man, he really nails that role.
He's more popular than I think
Thor.
Chris Hemsworth is a Thor.
Yeah, I agree.
It's weird. And then they brought out another geeky crush of mine, Natalie Portman.
Really?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not into her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's I gotta stick with my people, you know.
Yeah, my people.
And then they brought out a huge, huge, huge surprise guest. Sir Anthony Hopkins came out on stage next.
That's pretty badass.
And he got a really major standing ovation, man. I gotta tell you, everybody was in awe that he was there. And they did a little questions, and they talked about it a little bit. And they're like, well, you know what? Instead of talking about it, why don't we show this clip? And they showed a clip of I don't want to give any spoilers away, of Jane Foster actually being in Asgard and confronting and Odin confronting her. That's all I'm going to say.
Really?
There was some other stuff going on that I'm not going to talk about.
Right.
So the next movie they talked about and they showed was Captain America, the Winter Soldier, which is coming out, was it early next year?
It should be March next year. March or May.
Yeah, something like that. They showed another long trailer for that. Then they showed, they brought out three of the actors from that show. From that movie, I'm sorry, not a show. They brought out Anthony Mackie, who's going to play the Falcon. They brought out Sebastian Shaw is one of the Marvel character. he's playing the Winter Soldier, who was Bucky in the first movie. If you didn't know that, I'm sorry, spoiler alert.
Read the comics, fuckers.
Exactly. And then they brought out Chris Evans. So Captain America himself was there. And they did a little skit, basically, like, they just finished rapping, and Ken Feige said, so you're done, what are you going to do now? Where are you planning to go? And I don't know if it's playing along, Chris Evans like, I don't really know, you know, haven't really thought about it. And Kevin Feige's like, you're not going to say Disneyland? He's like, oh, yeah, Disneyland, yeah. And, you know, they went on from there. Disneyland. I'll be remiss if I forget this before. We'll do it after this. We have a couple things to give away from the show that I picked up for you guys. The next movie they talked about was, guess what? Guess what movie they talked about? Still Marvel.
I'm going to say probably The Dazzler.
Exactly. The first announcement of The Dazzler movie. No, not true.
God, that would be a terrible movie.
Don't quote us. It'd be a 70s disco movie. It'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be like, I'm going to kill you with my crystal ball.
She has decent... Okay, I can't even say that straight with a straight face.
Yeah. She's active in Marvel now right now.
I've seen that. It's funny. She's a cool character, though, but,
yeah.
You know. So they talked about Guardians of the Galaxy next. And I was very skeptical about this movie before I saw this footage. They showed a long sizzle trailer for this movie, and I could not be more excited now. I am totally 150% on board with this movie.
It looks like a fun movie.
It looks fun. The comedy is there. The special effects are there. The science fiction aspect of it is there. It's everything I would want out of a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It's there. They have not announced it. Well, at D23 Expo, they did not announce who Rocket Raccoon or Groot voice. Is it Groot or Grood?
Groot.
Groot. Who their voices were going to be, but the footage they showed is so great. There's a piece with Star-Lord, who is Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to steal something out of like a cave or something. These space police come in after him. And they're like, "What are you doing? Who are you? What are you doing here?" And he's like, "I'm Star-Lord." And they all look at each other like, "Who? Who are you again?" He's like, "Come on, really? You don't know who Star-Lord is?" And they're like, "No, not really." And that was a really funny section of the trailer. I was like,
right, because nobody knows who Star-Lord is.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm down for that, man. That's going to be great.
And it's breaking the fourth wall there.
Yeah, I'm down for James Gunn, you know, doing this movie now, man.
Yeah.
And they showed a lineup section where the police were talking about, you know, each character, and then they got to like Rocket Raccoon. They're talking about Rocket Raccoon, and then they got to Groot, and Groot was out of frame because he's so tall.
Yeah.
And then he like sort of leans down into frame, and it was just funny. I am, and you saw a little bit of a teaser that I forwarded you today.
Yeah.
It wasn't great quality, but what did you think of it?
It seemed to be one of those movies that it's going to completely catch everybody by surprise and make a very...
it's going to make a big splash.
It is.
That was one of the things Kevin Feige said during this conference, is that they were looking for something that wasn't well-known out of Marvel that would be a lot of fun. Because look what happened when Iron Man came out. Nobody really... People knew the character, but he wasn't a household name yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say, is he's taking Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
And he's going to rebrand Guardians of the Galaxy as they rebranded Iron Man.
Exactly, totally. And if you want to see some of this stuff, you can't see any of the video clips from the actual movies, but... I'm going to make a plug for him again. Inside the Magic, look for him on YouTube. He has lots of the presentations and panels from D23 Expo. He has a video walkthrough of the Imagineering Pavilion. He has a lot of shit on his website that you can just spend days watching, man.
That's awesome.
It's great. It's great stuff. I mean, even when I was there, I couldn't see it all. It was just so much stuff to do. The guidebook I showed you earlier. This is the guidebook right here for the expo.
It looks like my fucking trade paperback.
It's huge, man. It's like 100 something pages or something. 119 pages for a fucking guidebook.
Wow,
it's crazy. But that they also stuff just really quick, and the Marvel's the important stuff for us. Really quick in the presentation, they talked about Maleficent, and Angelina Jolie came out. They showed a bunch of stuff from the new Muppets movie. They actually showed a nice trailer from it, and then they showed an actual musical number from the movie with Ricky Gervais. I don't want to give away too much of the plot away, so I won't spoil too much, but that song was stuck in my head the whole day afterwards, so they're on the right track.
Now, did you see a trailer for Saving Mr. Banks?
We did. We saw actually about two or three clips out of the movie, full clips.
Did you like it?
I'm really looking forward to that movie. Tom Hanks does a fantastic job as Walt Disney. There's going to be parts of the movie where it might freak people out that Walt Disney was sort of a hard ass a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're gonna show that a little bit. But my favorite thing of it, do you know who the Sherman Brothers are?
No.
Sherman Brothers were guys, they were working for Disney. They were songwriters. They did all the music for Mary Poppins, which is why they were in this movie. They did the Tiki Room song. They did It's a Small World. They did a lot of songs for Disney parks and stuff, too. So they're, like, famous, you know?
Right.
Saturday night, actually, the surviving member of the group, Richard Sherman, did a performance that night with Alan Menken, who did, like, songs from, like, Lion King and Aladdin and shit.
Wow.
I could not get into it. It was so packed. But the whole concert is actually on Inside the Magic's website, so
I saw that being posted in my Facebook feed.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
I was like, who in the hell are these guys?
Right. Now that you know, I mean, it was a milestone concert, but I could not get in. It was so, people were lined up like at 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Couldn't do it.
Holy shit.
At the end of Saving Mr. Banks, they brought out the two guys that were playing the Sherman Brothers in the movie, which of course is BJ Novak from The Office and Inglourious Basterds, of course, and Jason Schwartzman. And they talked a little bit about it, about, you know, their experience in the movie, and then they went backstage and they came back out a few minutes later to do a song from Mary Poppins. Jason Schwartzman was on piano. And they did, you know, that song, Let's Go Fly a Kite?
Yeah.
From the movie. They started going to that song, and then Richard Sherman came out to sing it with them. And then true Disney fashion, man, they had guys in costumes flying kites all around the stadium, the arena, and then they had, like, they ended it with, like, a big explosion of, like, streamers and shit. Streamers That's fucking crazy. Everywhere. It was pretty amazing.
I just blended two words and said, that's incrazy.
That is incrazy.
Yeah.
The Sherman Brothers blended two words a lot.
Really?
So that was a very crazy segue, yeah.
Interesting.
What else? I can't think of any other movie they showed there. They showed, they talked about Maleficent. They showed, I've got to actually look it up because, like, there was so much going on. So if you have any questions, go ahead and ask them right now. I'll look this up.
So when, I'm trying to think of something myself, Saving Mr. Banks, when does that come out?
It's coming out December this year. So it's a Christmas time movie.
Oh, so just in a couple more months, I'll actually
see. Yeah, not that long. Let's see.
Now that one's the one I actually really want to see. Oh, you know, they're going to be having a Cinderella live-action movie, too, aren't they?
That's what I was trying to think of. They did talk about Cinderella. They did the cast announcement. So Richard Madden from Game of Thrones is actually going to be in it as Prince Charming. That was cool.
Interesting.
He's no longer in Game of Thrones, spoiler alert, but...
well, happens.
Yeah.
I mean, George Romero likes to kill people off, so...
That's true. let's see, I'm looking at, well, they did show a little teaser from Age of Ultron, which is awesome. Like, we didn't know it was coming. And, Kevin Feige kept on mentioning that, you know, this is phase two they're deep into, because Iron Man 3 was the first step in this phase two.
Right.
So, so Muppets Most Wanted, they did that. They had Ty Burrell from, Modern Family came out, because he's in the movie. They actually had a live feed that had Miss Piggy and Kermit and Tina Fey in it, which was pretty funny. They talked about this movie called Into the Woods.
Is that a movie? It's going to be based on a novel?
Yeah, it's based on a play or something, or like a musical or something.
Hmm.
So Cinderella is directed by Kenneth Branagh. Lily James is playing. They showed some of her screen test stuff and some of the costumes and stuff. So Lily James is playing Cinderella. Richard Madden from Game of Thrones is the prince. Stepmother is going to be Kate Blanchett.
Interesting.
And the fairy godmother is going to be Helena Bonham Carter.
Interesting.
And they talked about Angelina Jolie in Maleficent, and they showed some clips from that, and it looks really cool. It really does. Because the whole movie is going to be from her perspective, you know?
Right.
Oh, the major thing that they talked about is this Tomorrowland movie. Have you heard about this?
I did hear about it. It's basically going to be talking about the real vision of Tomorrowland.
Nobody really knows what it really is. There's been this game going on for the past month or so through Disneyland and through LA that you could sign up for if you follow these cryptic clues and all this kind of stuff. And it's called The Optimist. And Ricky Briganti, again, has been covering that. And it's all leading up to the expo where they were going to, reveal stuff about this Tomorrowland movie. And Damon Lindelof, amazing screenwriter, and Brad Bird are involved in the movie. With George Clooney as one of the stars. Nobody knows what it's really about yet, but what they did, they showed this fake documentary, and they found a fake box, supposedly, at the bottom of the Disney archives, and they opened it up and they showed some stuff out of the box, and it all leads to Tomorrowland, the movie. And as soon as this press conference was over, they opened up a section of D23 Expo that was actually tarped off as a blue tarp. Nobody knew what it was. And as soon as this presentation was over, they were going to open it, and it was a whole thing about the Tomorrowland, all the artifacts that they found underneath the buildings. So
interesting.
There's video clips online that I'll have to link to. It was very cool. Everybody was expecting Tom Hanks to show up, but he was not there.
Yeah, that's surprising to me.
It was sad.
He must be filming.
Who else did we... Celebrity-wise, I ran into Josh Gad in the Imagineering Pavilion. You know who that guy is?
No.
Do you ever see that movie Fanboys?
No, I haven't.
Okay, let me pull up his Wikipedia. You'll recognize him when you see his picture. It's hard to see here, but...
Yeah, I can't make it out.
Let's see, filmography, he hasn't been in much, but, that's not right. He started on The Book of Mormon. He was in that show that didn't last very long, 1600 Pen. He's been in The Rocker, 21, Love and Other Drugs, Jobs. He's in that new Jobs movie.
I knew who that guy is.
Yeah.
He's doing this game. He did a game show recently with Howie Mandel called it's basically like a spin-off of something about Deal or No Deal. Basically, he talks into a microphone and he makes a random person do certain things.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ran into him and I was looking at him. He's like right next to me. I'm like, this dude looks really familiar. Who is this guy? And it turned out to be Josh Gad. I'm like, is your name Josh? And he's like, oh yeah, how's it going, man? And he's lost a lot of weight since, recently. So it was cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's see, who would, celebrity-wise, I don't think I ran into anybody else there. There's a lot of celebrities there. I met a couple of Imagineers that I was really excited for. I met Raleigh Crump, who was very instrumental in the 60s for the World's Fair stuff that Disney did. Like, It's a Small World, The Tiki Room. He had his hand in a lot of that stuff. I bought a book from him and got that autograph, which is cool.
Yeah, it was cool. You posted a picture of that on Instagram.
I did, yeah. It was weird.
Is Metal Geeks Podcast.
On Instagram. I really do apologize for the length of this episode, but...
Yeah, sometimes are getting sore.
Sometimes length is better than girth, right?
That's what he said.
That's what she said.
She.
So, I guess that pretty much wraps up the D23 Expo. I mean, I watched Lou Mangiello from WDW Radio. They had their own booth there. Watched them do a lot of live casting is what they were calling it. He had a bunch of different Imagineers come on to his show, and it was just cool just to sit there and watch him live, I can't think of anything else. Let's talk about the stuff we're going to give away.
Yeah.
We have one of the posters from the Disney and Imagineering and the Marvel thing. It says, Do You Dare Enter? It's from the comic series. I think comic series coming out. But if you would like this poster, comment on one of our Instagram postings about this episode. You'll see a graphic for this episode. Post on there what you think. You have to listen to this episode. if you got this far, you actually have, I guess. I guess the contest is, what is this this weird poster? What is it going to be based on? What attraction that never got made is it based on? And we talked about it earlier, so I gave you the answer earlier in the show.
Yeah, hashtag it with
the Metal Geeks podcast or Metal Geeks contest.
Yeah, and also just regular Metal Geeks too. Hashtag yep. Metal Geeks.
Hashtag the hell out of this. And another thing going on, we have a contest. If you go to Metal Geeks podcast on Instagram, I'm giving away a limited edition Fantasia Music Evolved pin that they gave me. And on the back, it actually is stamped D23 Expo limited edition. So this is the only place you're able to get this pin. If you're a Disney pin collector or you you want this little sucker, find us on Instagram and look for the contest rules. I'll post it again in a couple of days or probably tomorrow, and you'll see how to win this pin. You have till next week to do it. So I'm excited for that.
Hell yeah.
The last thing I really wanted to discuss, the last day at Disneyland, which is the day before we left, we didn't go back to the convention, but we saw a bunch of celebrities that day, man. I got to tell you.
That's cool.
We ran into Gary Cole when we were leaving. He was coming in and getting his bag checked. You know, Gary Cole has been in a lot of stuff. Office Space, he was the, you know, I'm going to need you to come in tomorrow guy.
Oh, right.
So that was cool. And we were in, it was weird, we were standing in Tomorrowland discussing something, and Kim all of a sudden said, Nathan Fillion, and pointed. I was like, what?
And she's like, oh, yeah, she's a total fangirl.
She's a totally fangirl. And Nathan Fillion, she's like, Nathan Fillion just walked by. Like, no shit. So she would not come with me for anything. I was like, let's go meet him. She wouldn't do it. She was, I guess, nervous maybe or scared. I don't know. I didn't want to bother him, I think. But I followed him over to Star Tours, which was maybe like 20 or 50 feet away. And I was like, hey, Nathan, how's your day been? And he's like, you know, it's been great. You know, it's my favorite ride here. And he's like, it was nice to meet you. And like, you know, he's like, I'm going to go in now. Basically, that was my interaction with him. And and his tour guide, and they brought him into the side door, and he went to the ride, you know?
That's cool.
I heard the Disney guys was like, was that Nathan? I was like, yep, it was. They're like, wow, that was cool. All right. And I think Kim saw Kyle McLaughlin. Lachlan? I can't ever know how to pronounce his name.
I'm not sure.
Did I mention at Warner Brothers we saw Clint Eastwood?
No, you did not.
We on the tour, she mentioned, she's like, well, we normal people on the tour don't go over here, but this is the production offices, and this is where Clint, on the right, coming up on the right, is where Clint Eastwood has his production office. And sometimes he's here, you know, and as soon as she said that, she stopped. She's like, well, there he is right there. And he was actually bent over in his back seat of his car getting his briefcase out. And she's like, hey, Clint, how are you doing? And he turned around, and she's worked with him before. It was something. He's like, oh, he looked at her for a second. Oh, hi, how y'all guys doing? And he said hello to us, and I said hi back, and that was about it.
He's like,
hey, how you doing?
He's like the what do you call it, a geriatric Batman.
Yes, indeed. And he looked really, really old, because he is really old. But
yeah, he's getting up there.
Wow, man. And we also saw two of the cast members from The Mentalist, Simon Baker and Robin Tunney.
No way.
And the coolest thing is we saw two of the guys sitting outside the soundstage there smoking a cigarette. They had blood all over them from, like, the scene. They were just shot.
That's awesome. Funny.
Pretty funny.
I love that show.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I did see one more dead celebrity while we were there. I saw Michael Jackson in Captain EO.
Oh, that's awkward.
That does not really hold up anymore. It's very, very dated, man. It's very 80s.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that shit.
They call it a tribute. They've had it for a couple of years now, but wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I heard a little kid when we were leaving. He's like, he asked his daddy, he's like, Daddy, why does he talk like a girl? His dad had no answer for that. I don't know.
It's because all the times he grabbed his own balls.
Maybe.
That's how I would have answered it. I was like, well, if you grabbed your balls that many times, you'd be sounding like that too.
Yeah. So The collector's forum they had there, I didn't buy a lot. I bought like three or four different, Vinylmations. I got a couple Star Wars one, and then I got my animal one I was looking for. So
that's awesome.
And Ken got there was an artist there. It was actually Rob. I can't think of his name now. I actually have the poster right here. I can show it to you real quick. It's a poster of John Barrowman from Doctor Who in Torchwood. You know, she's a big Doctor Who Whovian geek.
Yeah, yeah.
The artist's name is Jason Palmer, and he's actually the guy who did the covers for the Indiana Jones, the Blu-ray release that just came out.
Oh, that's awesome.
He had the original artwork there. He had a bunch of Nathan Fillion stuff, like Castle stuff and a bunch of Firefly. He had Hellboy and just a bunch of cool stuff.
We watch Castle here quite a bit.
Yeah, we do too. So look for him on the Google. His name was Jason Palmer. We definitely wanted to buy more prints from him, but you know, we had a budget, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was about it, man. That was my week experience, except for the horrible plane ride home. That we got delayed for an hour and then had to get off the plane to get right back on it. But
well,
about it.
You had a good time, man, and that's. That's awesome.
And I'm going to be posting pictures of a lot of the stuff on pictures and video on the Altness website as well as the MSRcast website. So looking forward to that, getting that done this week.
Awesome.
And let's you talk for a minute. What do you want to talk about?
Let's see.
Talk about going to sleep?
Yeah, absolutely. I am beat.
I think we just did a 2-hour episode, man.
That's all. Well, we're making up for the time lost last week.
That's right. Next week, we actually are going to have a really cool interview, cool episode. The Friday and Saturday before I left to go out of town, they had something here called Space City Con. Mm-hmm. And if you go to altness.com, you'll see that we covered the hell out of that. I did a lot of pictures, and the Altness guys did a lot of video with interviews and stuff. So look for that on altness.com on our YouTube page and all that kind of stuff.
We're going to have a guest next week, right?
Yeah, we're going to have Brian McBalls from Altness on the show next week because he was there the whole weekend. We're going to get his opinion of the show, and we'll talk about some of the stuff they were doing there. And I did a couple of interviews while I was there. Did an interview with a couple local filmmakers. One is a local web series that's starting really soon called More Than Human. We saw the pilot of it. A guy named Carlos, he's a good friend of mine, and really excited to bring you guys that interview. And another show, another interview with another local filmmaker, he's doing like a science fiction cool show that's coming out on the internet too. So we'll be getting to those next week. Sweet. And then we'll do our normal geekery too. We'll do a lot more comic book nerd talk.
No worries. I'm looking forward to it, man.
I think we can do that.
Yeah. I've been thinking about trying to do some more reviews, in a sense, on Instagram. So if you guys like it, like the fuck out of the pictures.
I think we need to do more stuff on the website, too. It's just been hard for me to devote all the time to it, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, everything's is a work in progress at this point. So
yeah, man.
Everything will get better. It'll get bigger. That's what she said.
Yeah, exactly. Get some buttered popcorn.
Buttered popcorn is not a flavor of popcorn. No. Put my foot down on that one. No, Disneyland, it is not a flavor of popcorn.
All right, man.
Let's see, Instagram. Did we mention Instagram at all?
Just about 20 times, but one more ain't going to hurt.
Give us the lowdown, man.
The lowdown on Instagram is Metal Geeks Podcast, and Carrie and I both operate it. Sometimes I'll put my little name at the end of it for my own personal one, which is at JM Metal Geek.
Yep, and I'm trying to do that with mine too. I'll admit, anytime you see anything Disney, it's probably going to be me.
Yeah, yeah. So other than that, man, just hashtag the fuck out of us.
Share us, find us. Help get the word out about us. I mean, Instagram has been a great tool for us recently because we can share a lot of geeky stuff, and we have it linked to our Twitter page. So, you know, find us on Twitter, too. We're at Metal Geeks at Metal Geeks on Twitter. Email themetalgeeks@gmail.com if you want to, you know, let us know your opinion, whatever. You want to get something, you know, a request for us, something for us to talk about.
And you know, if you happen to be listening to the show and you end up subscribing to any of the podcasts we mentioned earlier, let them know that you were sent here or there by Metal Geeks.
Exactly, man. We want people to, you know, share the love. We want to share the love of the podcast that we love.
It's a big old happy family.
It should be a big happy family. Actually, I was talking to Paul Berry from Window to the Magic, another self-promotion.
Yeah.
About how there should be, you know, more camaraderie in podcasting, you know?
It's there. It just needs to be moving forward.
Find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a review on iTunes. That really will help. Even if you give, like, a like on iTunes, you know, on, like, our pictures on Instagram, share our tweets, like us on Facebook, you know, interact with us. That's what we want it to be. We want it to be an interactive show, and we can't be that if you guys aren't there with us. And we do have some guys that, you know, some fans that do interact with us, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And send over any type of topics you want us to address too, because we're normally talking about shit that we like, and you know, maybe we're just overlooking something, and maybe you'll steer us into another direction. It's wonderful to have more people talking because it makes more conversational interesting.
Big shout out to Simon for pointing me in the right direction of the Fat Collectible store in Anaheim. Yeah. He was like, you have to go. He was posting on everything, dude, you got to go. So,
is that what's his Instagram name?
I can't think of his Instagram right now.
Iron Horse, I think it is.
Iron Sleeve, I believe. Yeah, there you go.
Iron Sleeve, yeah. Simon's actually an old buddy of mine. I met him on the Lamb of God message board back in the day.
Message board, something from the past.
Yeah. Now he's actually on my personal Facebook and communicate.
Me too.
And hopefully, whenever I get out to San Diego for my honeymoon, I'd like to have a couple beers with him.
Yeah, totally, man. So let's see. Follow us, like, on those places that we said. Go to altness.com and go to altness.com and through the YouTube link, like, start watching all the videos, because I'm so glad we're involved with these guys, because they do an amazing job with their coverage of media events, man, and that's Alt and all the shows that we're doing. It's a lot of fun, man.
Awesome.
And if we're trying to get some more podcasts going, so that's something in the works too.
Yeah.
That I don't really want to talk about too much yet. Also, find us on, like we said, iTunes. Find our other show, MSRcast, which we'll be recording another episode this week. And you can find us through there on iTunes, as well as metalinjection.com. Or actually, metalinjection.net, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You know what? Somebody needs to sponsor us to give us some sort of, like, interview drinks, because if they could see us right now, we're both...
our heads are down. We're just like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's time to end the show.
I agree. So thanks for tuning in. Give a final word to our loyal listeners?
It has been a pleasure geeking with you.
So rock out with your geek out.
God, I'm so tired.
All right.
Night, see you guys.
Hey, Geekazoids! Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit MSRcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.